Legal Tuesday with Joe Stanley, the morning mess on demand at 95X.com.
Syracuse Rock Alternative 95X, Andrew McMahon in the wilderness and fire escape. 95X welcomes Andrew McMahon in the wilderness, and they're coming to town on August 1st at Paper Mill Island. Of course, 95X is your concert authority. All the ticket information at 95X.com. Joe Stanley is up and at it on the Tuesday. We do this every Tuesday. It's called Legal Tuesday, brought to you by the Stanley Law Office here at 95X. So don't wait to get your questions to Joe right now. Drop us a text at 315-629-9570. The direct line to the studio to speak to Joe and ask your question is 315-421-9595. Or you can simply reach out to the Stanley Law Office. Don't go it alone. Contact Joe. And how do they do that, Joe?
Sure. It's StanleyLawOffices.com is our website. My email is joe@StanleyLawOffices.com. Our number is 1-800-608-3333.
And I see our first text came in. Question for Joe.
Yeah. When home equity is split up in a divorce, how is the value of home figured? Is it the realtor sale price or an appraisal? The appraisal of the home is $24,000 lower than the realtor sale price.
Well, the answer is I'm not sure what they mean by realtor sales price. It's an appraisal, and if you don't agree to the appraisal, you know, you get another one, and the court then has to adopt it. But usually an appraiser is an independent person that's brought in by both parties, and that's the number. If the property was just recently sold or bought, usually you don't even need an appraisal because...
Take that actual price?
Yeah, hopefully it hasn't changed much. So if they're saying, is it what a real estate broker just says the sale price should be or what the market value is, that's not really an acceptable appraisal for court purposes, if that's what they mean by that statement.
Joe Stanley is here. It's Legal Tuesday on the Morning Mess with Marty and Shannon, 95X. The text line is 315-629-9570. If you want to talk to Joe, you can remain anonymous. We don't need your name. You can just ask the question. Give us a call in studio right now, 315-421-9595, or simply contact the Stanley Law Office. Don't go it alone. Contact Joe. And again, Joe, what's that contact information?
Sure. My number is 1-800-608-3333. StanleyLawOffices.com is the website, and my email is joe@StanleyLawOffices.com.
How long do you have to report someone getting hurt on your property to your homeowner's insurance?
Good question. How long do you have? You should report it as soon as possible. The law says it's as soon as reasonably practicable. That's what your policy says. That's what the law requires. The answer is to avoid any difficulty. Report it to your insurance company, not your agent. Even though your agent should, you should report it directly to your insurance company and do it in writing. Don't just do it by phone. Always document those kind of things, because if the law has changed, but you could possibly, because you didn't report it in a timely manner, have your coverage for any particular situation denied. And that's the case for a lot of things. It's not just for a potential homeowner's situation. If you get in a car crash and you don't file your no-fault claim within 30 days, they technically can deny all your no-fault benefits. 30 days is not very long, by the way. I don't think that's fair. We've been trying to fight that. 30
sometimes
days
it takes longer than that to realize there's a problem.
Right, yeah. Well, there's excuses, and there's many situations where there's deadlines to report things that you may not even be aware of. And so that's a good thing to ask. If you're not sure, ask. But assume that there's a penalty if you don't report something or if you don't document things. And always, believe me out there, listeners, is that document, it's so easy to do it in writing now. Do anything that's of any importance in writing, because verbal confirmations or verbal discussions, whether it's with your credit card company or with the insurance company, are not necessarily going to be believable and or retrievable. I use that. See, it's almost like I'm a poet, believable and retrievable. But it's like you're cooking, Marty, believable and or retrievable.
Thank you. Joe Stanley is here on the Morning Mess with Marty and Shannon. Legal Tuesday. We do it every Tuesday morning at this time. The direct line to the studio, question for Joe. You can call right now, 315-421-9595. Don't be shy. Joe doesn't bite. He'll answer your questions for you. Or the text line is 315-629-9570.
This is from Liz. She asks, how hard is it to establish power of attorney and what kind do they need? She says, my father's in the hospital. We want to make sure bills are paid and that his medical needs are taken care of.
If he's competent to sign the power of attorney form, it's relatively easy to do so. It's just a form. And it can be a general power of attorney, which means whoever is given the power of attorney can do anything on his behalf, or it can be limited to certain activities. And and I know I've had to do it for family members. If you want to send me an email, we can talk about a little bit more. There's forms that you can get that are pretty self-explanatory now, and if you follow them, they will be enforceable. But if you need any information, I can help you with that too. It's Joe at StanleyLawOffices.com.
It's the Morning Mess with Marty and Shannon on 95X, 315-629-9570. Direct line if you want to talk to Joe and ask a question, 315-421-9595.
Actually, this is a good question. What's the difference between DUI, DWI, DWAI?
Well, DWI and DWAI are the terms of art used in the criminal law in New York, which means driving while intoxicated and driving under the influence. DWAI is a lesser charge of DWI, and there's certain now in New York there's certain levels of even DWI, you know, misdemeanor, and actually it can even be felony. DUI, other states call it driving under the influence, and so if you get a DUI in other states, it's probably the same as our DWI.
Okay.
So that is that's the terminology situation.
Joe Stanley is here, 315-629-9570. Another text just came in, question for Joe.
Okay, hang on a sec. Another question for Joe.
Can I be kept from my camp if both our names are on it and the property lease? Can I be put, can I put a lien on it?
All right, I have to. So can you be kept from your camp?
So it sounds like a divorce or something?
Both names are on it and the property lease, can I put a lien on it under camp property?
All right. It sounds like they're leasing a camp property and it's in both in their names.
Yeah.
Whether you're the title holder, which means you own the property, actually own the property as real estate, or a leasehold owner, if your name is on the lease or you're on the title of the property, you have access to it and people can't prevent you from using your property. That's just like when you're in a divorce, both people are entitled to use the house, and there are many divorces where they both live in the same house, even though there's a divorce going on because of the financials or otherwise. So you can't be prevented, and I'm not sure. So if somebody locks you out and does all those things, that's the time to get a lawyer involved before you get involved in any other situations where you might need the police. You don't use self-help, even though you might be technically entitled to it. Use the legal system. Don't use your fist or force or anything of that nature, because those are things that can take us a relatively difficult situation and turn it into a nightmare for you.
Okay, this one made me chuckle a little bit. My parents have a lot of real estate and I'd like to get married. How do I protect those assets? They're still alive and kicking, but as an only child, it all comes to me in the end.
Well, it's very, very thoughtful.
Preparing for your parents' eventual death. Okay.
All right. Well, this is one of those things you put it into the aside that hope nothing suspicious ever happens to them. But the answer to that is estate planning is always a wonderful thing to do to protect your parents' assets for each other way before you may be entitled to them, because the odds are one of them is going to may need long-term care or need a situation to develop before the other. And if they have a lot of assets, there is a very, very big need for you and them. You persuade them that they should go to a financial planner right away. Not a financial planner, estate planner, because there are lots of issues out there. And there's a lot of people that do it, but that doesn't necessarily mean they're really good at it, because it is a very technical field to protect assets as best as can be done. And so, and by the way, if those assets get protected ultimately in the end, that will be to her benefit.
Joe Stanley is here on the Morning Mess with Marty and Shannon. Legal Tuesday brought to you by these Stanley Law Offices. Don't go alone. You can contact Joe. Joe, what's the contact information?
Sure. StanleyLawOffices.com is our website. My email is joe@StanleyLawOffices.com, and it's 1-800-608-3333 is our phone number.
Great questions. We got another text that just came in.
Oh, we have another text. Okay. Yep. I had one on an email, too. If my girlfriend's house is being foreclosed on and all the paperwork went to her ex-husband and he held the information without telling her or their divorce lawyers, is there any kind of legal action we can take as the bank is trying to auction off the property?
Well, you need to do something immediately so the property doesn't get auctioned, by the way. There's ways of preventing the auction. And if somebody intentionally interferes with it, I guess that's a claim. If the divorce is going on, you should talk with the divorce lawyer about the penalties for that. You know, they're obligated as part of a divorce to give full financial information, and they really are not, as part of the process, cannot intentionally harm the property. That's something you need to talk with the divorce lawyer. Now, see, those are the kind of things that just should never happen. That only hurts both of them.
And that's true. You
know, I know, because people get mean and hurt, yeah, and their pride is hurt, selfish, and they just stab out. And
yeah, they cut off their nose despite their own face, and they end up, they end up hurting themselves.
They end up just being ugly,
spiteful. Yeah.
It's sad, and it really doesn't
happen all the time.
Yeah, it's just not. I mean, if you listen to these and you're out there, try not to do it. No matter how, you know, if your emotion takes control,
it's called take the higher road.
Well, it's usually the better road too. It's a lot less bumpy.
It's true. Joe Stanley is here. I got to share this text with you. I sure hope Joe does bite with a kiss and a heart. All right, Joe's got a fan out there. All right, one more question, okay, real quick, Shannon.
This one came in. My mom's in a nursing home. Her Medicaid keeps getting denied, and so she's self-pay, but the bill is too large to be covered by her Social Security. The proceeds from the sale of her home have already been depleted. Can the nursing home sue the family for the money after my mom passes away? She's in her final few months.
This goes back to that earlier question about estate planning, and this is one of those things you want to do in advance so that Medicaid, if necessary, comes into play. The answer is no, the family can't be sued for the debts of any estate. In other words, unless you personally signed on for something or personally guaranteed something, an individual's debt goes with them when they die, and the only way they can collect is from the assets of the estate, and that goes for Medicaid also. That's why maybe you don't co-sign and whatever. Don't make yourself separately responsible. But no, the family cannot be sued. But I'm not sure how they are not eligible for Medicaid. I know this system very well. If she has no assets left and you do it right, Medicaid should become applicable. But it sounds like there are still some assets that she has, and they will not pay anything until you pay down unless you did proper estate planning. And in other words, the government requires every penny to be spent. You just swear that it has been spent and that it's all gone before they take on the obligation.
Interesting. Joe Stanley is here. We're simply out of time. Great questions came in today, though. Wow.
Yes.
It kept you busy for that 15-minute segment. Joe Stanley is here. The segment is brought to you by the Stanley Law Office. Don't go it alone. Contact Joe. And once again, Joe, if people feel more comfortable, because, you know, we understand in the morning people are busy, can be personal. How can they reach you and the Stanley Law Office?
Yeah, these are all good questions. Don't be afraid to ask, because, again, you get in trouble if you don't. The number is 1-800-608-3333. StanleyLawOffices.com is our website. And my email is joe@StanleyLawOffices.com.
And there are no stupid questions unless you ask it too late. And if it really is stupid, Joe could always use a laugh.
Well, yeah.
Sometimes you just have to, right?
You know?
Like, I hope Joe bites with a heart.
Well,
a kiss and a heart.
I don't know what that means. And
I said Joe doesn't bite. Don't be afraid to call.
Oh,
so they're saying they hope you do bite.
Must
be a fan thing, Joe. I'm not quite sure.
Well,
it makes no sense. It's a morning mess.
We'll put it on the list.
As long as you don't admit to wearing chaps, you are safe.
Yes, this is true. Or a romper. You want to wear a romper with Joe D?
Oh my gosh.
Joe what a romper is.
I don't even know what that is.
It's a onesie for a grown adult.
We could have a room full of Joes and rompers.
I don't think so.
Joe Stanley, you're awesome. We'll talk to you next week, buddy.
Thanks.